Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why contains adult language.
I would do cocaine instead of taking a nice relaxing bath. That's just me.
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre and often scarring media of our shared childhood. My name is Amy, and I'm a proud Gen Xer born in 1977.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
Today, we're going to continue our Blockbusters series with 1984's A Nightmare on Elm Street. Jen?
The description reads, in a classic horror film genre that launched a movie franchise, a pedophile who was murdered by a lynch mob returns years later in terrifying nightmares of his killer's teenage children.
Okay. Jenny, I have so many questions as we go through this.
I just want to get this out of the way. Like, I'm cranky because this, I hated watching this and it was terrible. And I wanted to watch Halloween and Amy made some kind of shady vote and then said we had to do both of them. And this was the worst hour and a half of my life.
I rigged democracy. Jenny, where would you put this on the scale of Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck at least was really bad, but like entertaining bad. This was just bad.
Howard the Duck was like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
That's true. That was a long movie.
It was a long movie.
At least this one was only 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. I took 90 precious minutes away from watching Cobra Kai.
Yeah, that's why Jenny's cranky, everybody. She's on a Cobra Kai binge.
Because I could only stay up to watch two after I watched this last night.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the first time you saw Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, did you have any memories of that?
I don't remember. I think I saw it at, like, a sleepover when I was 12 or 13. Like, I definitely didn't see it in 84 because I was only, like, 9. So I saw it, like, probably, like, late 80s. I just remember it being over the top even then. Like, it was just kind of scary but cheesy, you know? Like, it was...
Well, my problem with this movie is I definitely didn't see it when it came out because I was only, like... 7. My problem is it's a great concept. The idea that you can be harmed in your dreams and like there's no distinction between your dream and because when you have like when you're scared, when you see a scary movie, right? The response normally is that you will have a nightmare about it. You'll have a bad dream.
I guess.
That's what horror writers want to happen, right? They want you to be scared. They want you to have a nightmare.
Do they necessarily want you to have a nightmare? I think they just want you to be scared.
Stephen King is like, I want you to have a nightmare.
I think they want you to have that adrenaline rush of being scared at the time. That's what people like about horror movies.
But I think a pretty natural response to a horror movie is to have a bad dream about it.
I don't think they give a shit what happens when you leave the theater.
Stephen King is like sending out on his
money.
He's sending a survey monkey out on his email list. Did you have a nightmare?
I don't think that's what keeps people coming back. I think it's the adrenaline rush at the time.
But my point is, like, I think the concept is good.
The concept is better than it came out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I agree.
Like, they blew a good concept.
It's a decent concept.
It's a good concept. Okay. But I have a lot of...
Where something like The Ring, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time, like when you say that concept out loud, it sounds like the dumbest thing on earth, but it's such a good movie.
I can't even talk about that movie.
Yeah, so good.
I'm watching Succession and the father is in it.
Oh. Really?
And I can't even look at him. Okay. All right. So let's start, Jenny. Ready? First of all, I want to say that this movie made a lot of money.
Did it?
Yeah, they made it for $1.8 million and it grossed $57 million.
Clearly, they made it on the cheap.
Yeah. Well, Wes Craven was like a nobody.
This was no $33 million Howard the Duck. Maybe that's why Howard the Duck was so entertaining, because there's just so much budget in it. Like, it's extravagant.
And, Jenny, as you'll see from my name today on our podcasting feed, this was introducing Johnny Depp.
What role did he play? I didn't even notice. Was he the dude?
Are you kidding
boyfriend?
Me?
Is he the boyfriend? Glenn? Is he Glenn?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
I didn't even recognize him.
He's not coked up Rod.
That guy's gross.
Okay. All right. We open on what appears to be a boiler room or workshop of some kind. My closed captioning tells me there is raspy breathing. Dude is making a glove with some knives sticking out. There's no setup here. It's like immediate action.
Well, isn't that like over the credits that's rolling too? Yeah. It's like weird, right?
Yeah.
And can I just say, as somebody who has taken many metal shops and did a lot of metalworking, this would take forever to make these things. And he seems to like whip them together. Like,
where does he pull the blades from? We don't even know.
We don't, like, scissors. Is he the first Edward Scissorhand? Johnny Depp's. This is where they got these.
I love Edward Scissorhand.
I love Johnny
Depp. That's Johnny Depp at his peak. I don't know if he's, you know.
I mean, that is kind of odd.
As of late, he's problematic.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they're scissors or something.
Maybe. So Tina, a blonde young girl, is wandering through some kind of industrial or medical facility in a nightgown. There's steam and a goat running around.
Why is everybody always in a nightgown? Right? Well, like, they're always in a friggin' nightgown.
Yes.
In an industrial setting. Like, this is just horror movie fodder, right?
Yes.
And I'm like, what's with the fucking sheep? But then, as you'll see many times through this movie, I'm like, oh, we're in a dream.
Well, oh, and not only that, I could see sticking a horse in there, like, ring style. You know, horses are scary. Their eyes are eerie.
So are sheeps. Actually, goats are the worst. Their eyes are freaky.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I got up close with goats once.
Yeah. Oh, the door.
Goat yoga. And their eyes are like, the slits in their eyes go the opposite direction. They look like the fucking devil.
Yeah. Okay. So a man's voice is cackling and he starts chasing this girl and running his blades against the metal pipes. That's all we see. Suddenly the girl jumps awake and it was just a dream. But was it, Jen? Because her nightgown is sliced open.
Right.
And her trashy mother, who's clearly brought some dude home from a bar, comes in the room and then tells Tina, either cut your fingernails or quit that kind of dreaming.
I feel like Tina's waking life is worse than her nightmare.
It might be. That's one thing all these families have in common. They're all broken families.
Yeah. Yeah. They were driving that home pretty hard.
Pretty hard. So then we have the famous jump roping scene with the little kids jump roping and they're singing 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door. 3, 4, grab a crucifix. And then I wrote, why is a crucifix the answer?
Because religion.
But he's not demonic. He's not demonic.
Well, I mean, how would you explain it otherwise? How do you explain a guy haunting your dreams? What is your scientific explanation for that?
I don't know. I just feel like...
I think they think it's like exorcism or demons or what other bucket is it going in?
I don't know. I don't know. 7, 8, going to stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again. Okay. So those are that's the song. This morning, Jenny, Tina is getting a ride to school from Johnny Depp in an old Cadillac.
Not a bad way to start the day.
Not a bad way at all. Nancy is with them. You remember Nancy. We all remember Nancy. If you've seen any of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, she's like the woman who's in all of them. They're discussing Tina's dream. And Tina said it reminded her of that old boogeyman song they used for jump rope.
Is that the song? I thought they made that song about Freddy.
I don't know. I guess.
Oh, maybe that song was written about the Freddy.
The real Freddy. Yeah.
The original. Yes. Right.
Nancy starts to tell the group that she too had a weird nightmare. Now they're at school by this point and they're getting out of the car. Before she can tell her story, some greaser douchebag named Rod.
Oh, he's so gross.
Says he has a hard-on with Tina's name written all over it. And she says she doubts he can fit 4 letters on his dick.
Good one.
Good one.
That was a good one, Tina.
And he says, up yours with the twirling lawnmower.
And I just wrote, who's writing this? Like, who's writing this script?
Wes Craven.
Oh, God.
He wrote and directed it. Johnny Depp, his name is Glenn in the movie, but he's going to be Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp gives them terrible advice. He says, just tell yourself you're having a nightmare and it wakes you up. Okay, genius. Like,
well, he is tapping in on lucid dreaming, I guess, where you like can control your dream.
I guess. So Tina asks him if he had a nightmare too, but he blows her off.
Tina looks 52.
I have thoughts about this.
Okay.
I'll get to it.
I don't know how old she is, but she looks 52.
I'll get to it. Later that night, the three gather at Tina's. It's Johnny Depp, Nancy and Tina.
And they have a boombox.
Tina's mom is out of town for 2 days. God only knows where she is. How is she affording to travel? I don't know what's happening there. Johnny Depp decides to trick his mother into thinking he's at his cousin's house by the airport by playing a sound effect tape and that Rob gave him. And in my opinion, this was the only 2 minutes worth watching this whole movie for. Because I was laughing so hard. So he pops the tape in the boombox and it's playing airplane sounds, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm at Cousin Joey's. Yeah, the planes are loud, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, the sounds start to go awry. And there's a motorcycle. There's a crash. There's a scream. There's an airplane dog fight, according to my closed captioning.
Is that what the closed captioning said it was?
And people are screaming, and he can't figure out how to turn it off. It's hilarious. Okay, Nancy finally gets to tell Tina about her dream, and she reveals that she dreamt of a crazy dude in a dirty red and green sweater with long knives for fingernails. And Johnny Depp is like, that's a great idea for a movie, and starts jotting it down. No, I'm just kidding. Tina's freaking out because that's exactly what she dreamed of. And Johnny Depp is skeptic, even though he clearly dreamt of this as well.
Yeah. Clearly, you're all freaked out.
Soon they hear noise and it's douchebag Rod.
Well, is that when he attacks him in the yard? Yeah. I would have friggin' punched him in the face.
Yeah, he lures him outside, of course.
Don't ever creep up on me in a yard, on a street.
Make notes.
I will just react and attack you with karate moves.
I was just going to say, are we whipping out the karate again? Okay, to make Rod even worse, Jenny, his last name is Lane. Rod Lane.
Am I supposed to react to that somehow?
It's just bad.
Well, like, does that mean something?
Okay, Rod wants to know if there's an orgy happening. And when Johnny Depp tells him no, Jen, he pulls out a switchblade.
He's just, his whole personality is disgusting.
Okay, so I wrote, turns out the actor, and I don't know how to say his first name, it's J-S-U.
Okay.
Garcia.
Okay.
Was high on heroin during the whole movie.
Get up.
Really battling drugs.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
And so there was actually a scene later, and I'll tell you when we get to it, where he's actually high in the movie. So we'll get there.
Okay, that actually makes me feel better.
Yep, me too.
That explains a lot.
The four teens, now with Rod, head into the house, and Tina and Rod are having crazy loud sex. I want to talk about the sex for a minute.
Okay.
First of all, they're having sex in her mother's bed.
Gross.
But secondly, like, I had sex as a teenager. It's not like that. It's not like that.
I know.
It doesn't go on for 2 hours and she's screaming in passion and ecstasy.
Yeah, it's like it's a little over the top.
There's no teenage girls screaming in ecstasy from having sex, okay, guys? If they're doing it, it's not real. It's not real.
Well, I mean, it probably wasn't real.
Right, right, right. Like, I just, no, it's like 10 minutes at Dirty Corner and it's over. Okay, so Johnny Depp is listening downstairs and that was weird. I don't know why they kept focusing on him.
So weird with Nancy deflecting him, being like, we're here for Tina. What, you're just going to sit there and listen? Like, why don't you guys go get your own on? And like, then you're not, like, you don't have to sit here and listen to this? Because that's really weird.
Well, I wonder if Nancy looks back on it and is like, I had a chance to bang Johnny Depp. I'm an idiot. Okay, so after the banging, Rod reveals he's also had the nightmares, Jenny.
Mm.
So you're all,
so all these people grow up in the same neighborhood? Is that the deal?
I guess,
right? Yes.
Nancy is sleeping in a guest room and a crucifix pops off the wall onto her head. In another room, Tina hears pebbles being tossed at the window.
Like, she gets up and she looks. Don't ever look. Just be like, I don't know what that sound is. I'm going to fall asleep and it'll go away.
Yeah, or just immediately call the cops or Liam Neeson.
But I think we figure out that she's actually dreaming at this point.
Yes, she is. So someone's whipping pebbles at the glass so hard it breaks. And meanwhile, back in Nancy's room, dude is coming through the ceiling over her head. She wakes up thinking she heard something. And then I don't know if this crucifix wasn't nailed in, but she literally sticks it back onto the wall.
It has like a 3M like stick thing on it.
Weird. Downstairs, dumbass Tina is walking outside by herself towards the scary voice yelling Tina. Suddenly, Freddy appears, and this is the first we see of his charred face. He laughs and his arms grow super long as he reaches to run his nails against everything.
What the hell was that? It looked really bad. Like it looked the effect. Really bad. It was so bad. It was so cheesy.
They didn't have that Howard the Duck money, I'll tell you.
No, they did not.
They did not. She starts running and she can't escape him. And suddenly he gets her on the ground and starts stabbing her. And we switch to her back in bed because this is all in a nightmare. And she's with Rod and she's dreaming. And he doesn't even try to wake her up.
No.
No.
He just stands there.
Just like, what's going on?
Right, the effects are so bad. It's so bad.
Right in front of Rod, she gets sliced open, thrown against the wall, thrown against the ceiling, dragged up onto the ceiling. It's creepy.
Well, that whole dragged up onto the ceiling, like that reminds me of the deleted scenes from The Exorcist.
I know.
Like that whole,
I know.
Like that was bad.
I know. We have to do that movie.
And I was just like, Rod is fucked. Like this dude's screwed. Who's going to believe he didn't do this? No one's going to believe he didn't.
He's so soaked up all the time.
I know.
Suddenly, Rod starts freaking out and he's calling for her, but he really isn't doing much more than that.
Like, well, when she was on the bed going crazy and like convulsing, that's when he should try to wake her up.
Yeah. By the time Nancy and Johnny Depp get there, Tina is dead. The room is covered in blood. And Rod is gone. He jumped out the window, but dude looks guilty.
Dude. Oh my God, you're fucked.
So the cops are called, and of course they're pinning this one on Rod because
how can they not? He was locked in the room with her.
So one of the cops says, Rod Lane is a musician type, off and on drugs. And I thought about you, Jenny, and your epiphany about dating musicians.
See? She should have taken the advice from Little House.
Yep. The cop, Lieutenant Donald Thompson, is actually Nancy's father. And he and her mother are also divorced. And he's pissed that Nancy's there and tells Nancy that Rod is a bad dude. And she's like, no, he isn't. Tina had a dream this was going to happen, Dad. And the dad's like, okay. Are you on drugs?
I mean, at least Nancy seems traumatized. So, like, it's not like a Heather situation. Like, she does seem traumatized.
Yes, yes. The next morning, Nancy's mother's watching the news report of Tina's death. And are you ready to have your mind blown, Jenny?
Yes.
The news report says she is a 15-year-old girl.
I know. They're in high school.
15.
Mm-hmm.
The actress, 24.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Why wouldn't they make them 17 or 18?
17 or 18. Yeah, that's how old they look.
That was
They look 30, but.
That was weird.
Yeah.
The actress,
yeah, she's definitely not 15. There's no way.
The actress who plays Nancy was only 20.
Okay.
So she could have done 18.
Yeah.
Why would
they pass for 18? They cannot pass for 15 because 15-year-olds look really, like, they still look like kids, kind of.
Yeah. And then you're like, how old is Rod? And he's banging a 15-year-old. Should he be in jail?
He's definitely not 15.
Okay. So as they show the body being brought out of the house, her arm slips out from the stretcher and it's all slashed up.
Like they couldn't handle that. They couldn't make that not happen.
I know. Nancy comes downstairs and she reveals she's going to school and she makes some insinuation that her mother's an alcoholic.
Her mother is an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. So, but this is the first we hear of it.
Yeah.
All right. So Nancy's walking down the street and Rob grabs her.
Dude. Well, first she saw a creepy dude. What was that? Like some guy was following
her. I don't know.
Maybe that was one of the detectives or something. And then he grabs her and I'm just like, not a good look, Rod. Like, not a good look.
He's trying to tell her what happened and her dad, America's worst cop, shows up.
I mean, he grabs her like and covers her mouth and like pulls her into the bushes.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what are you
going to murder you?
What are you doing?
He points the gun at Rod, but Nancy jumps in front of it and Rod gets away. But then eventually they catch up to him on the street and they arrest him. And Nancy realizes, Jen, that her father used her to entrap Rod. This is a terrible movie.
So bad.
Okay. At school, Nancy dozes off during what I thought was a riveting discussion of Julius Caesar, Hamlet, and all of the connections between them.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, it was just such a heavy metaphor.
But it was nice. Yeah. It was nice.
Whatever.
It's always nice for me to be transported back into an English classroom.
And there was some dude standing up at the front of the room with, like, jam shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Jams?
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
She sees Tina in a body bag in the hallway, and of course
holy shit. Why wouldn't you follow that?
A trail of blood. Why wouldn't you? So I'm not going to bore you with this. She basically sees Freddy. He's terrorizing her. She goes to the basement of the school. Nancy sees Freddy. He slices part of his chest open and green goo squirts out.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
It's just weird. So this dream sequence is when she learns his name is Freddy, because yeah. He does come to Freddy. She realizes she needs to wake herself up, and she burns her arm on a pipe. And I wrote, she wakes up screaming in English class. Probably not the first time that sentence has ever been said.
Like screaming at the top of her lungs. That probably scared the shit out of everyone in that class.
Yep.
She's good at screaming, that actress, though. That was convincing.
She was freaking out.
Yeah.
The teacher's like, I'll call your mother.
Oh, my God. Like, get out.
So Nancy's walking home, and then she notices Jen. Her arm is burned in real life.
Yeah.
So the dream happened.
Did the dream happen? Or?
Yeah.
Like, the dream didn't happen. She's getting physical results from what she had dreamt. Like, it's not like that reality occurred.
Right, like, she didn't get up and go do the dream.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Nancy heads to the jail to interrogate Rod. This is the scene where he's high. He talked about it like a couple years later. Rod tells Nancy that someone else was in the room with them and sliced up Tina right before his eyes, but he couldn't see the dude. And then he says there were four razors. And he also reveals he had a nightmare about Freddy the night before. And I wrote, Nancy has terrible bags under her eyes by this point.
She's trying to stay awake.
She's exhausted.
Yeah. And I just have that Rod is getting the chair.
Oh, yeah.
And he's still wearing his leather jacket. What kind of jail is this?
Guys, I apologize. I made Jenny do this.
You made me do this. And for everyone who voted for this movie, I blame you as well.
So, Jenny, if you were in a situation where you had to stay awake because a maniac was terrorizing you in your dreams, would you go home and take a nice soothing bath?
I would do cocaine instead of taking a nice relaxing bath. That's just me. You need to stay awake. It's the 80s. There's definitely a solution for this.
So Nancy's taking a very relaxing bath, guys. And she suddenly, you know, we hear the Freddy song she's singing. It's like weird. She falls asleep in 3 seconds. Shocker. And we see Freddy's hand emerge from the water. But her mother wakes her up. And Jenny, what does her mother have for her?
Well, I forget.
Warm milk.
Oh, she says she has warm milk. Yeah. Right. But the mother has to break in eventually because she hears her screaming. But instead of busting down the fucking door, which those doors are easy to pop open, like if you just give it a good kick. Instead of doing that, when you hear your child screaming.
She gets a wire hanger.
She goes and she looks for something to pick the lock. Uh-huh. Like, what are you doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah. This mother,
she's a mess.
She's a mess, but I felt so bad for her because all your kid is doing is screaming and not sleeping. I'm like, oh my God, I have PTSD.
I thought it was the same mother as Tina for a while. Tina's mother.
Well, they're very similar.
Right? Like, it seems like I'm like 80s alcoholic mom that they just put in there.
Stereotype. Nancy then grabs some pills to help her stay awake while she watches a soothing documentary on body dismemberment.
Was it a documentary on body dismemberment?
It was something about
body dismemberment. I thought it was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, was it? I never saw that, so I don't know. Is there like voiceover to that?
I don't know. I don't think so. Was there voiceover in what she was watching? Oh, okay. Maybe it was some kind of documentary about Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
She starts dozing off and Johnny Depp shows up at her window.
Because, like, watching a horror movie, why not? You're trying not to have a nightmare. Like, she's just doing everything wrong.
She's making every bad decision. Nancy decides, Jen, she's going to scope out Freddy. She's going to go look for him. So she asks Johnny Depp to stand watch and wake her if she starts thrashing around.
Right. Easy job.
The good old asking Johnny Depp to watch you in case you start thrashing around. Yeah. Johnny Depp, come to my bedroom and watch me.
He has one job. He's got to watch her sleep. If she starts acting like a maniac, wake her up. Mm-hmm.
So she's chasing in her dream. She's chasing Freddy around outside in her neighborhood. And she wanders over to the jail and she sees Freddy like hovering around Rod. Nancy starts screaming for Johnny Depp, but he clearly fell asleep and failed at his only job. He failed at the prank on his mother, failed to keep Tina safe, and now failed to keep Nancy awake.
Yep. Yeah, he's pretty useless.
You're doing great, Johnny Depp. Nancy is back in her house and sees Johnny Depp asleep. Oh, God, I would love that.
Well, she's in the dream in her house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Freddy has her up against the wall and is ready to kill her when her alarm suddenly goes off and wakes her up.
Thank God someone set a freaking alarm or she'd be dead.
She freaks out on Johnny Depp. Freaks out on him. Like, you had one job, dude.
Yeah.
What are you doing? When she does wake up, though, she realizes, like, Rod's in trouble.
Yes.
Okay. This is a bad scene, everyone, coming up. Nancy begs her father to let her see Rod. The cops, of course, don't believe it, but finally they do, and they take their time getting down there. The keys are lost, whatever.
Wait, can I interject something here?
Yeah.
There's a part I forgot. When Freddy's chasing her back into the house, that part where when he's chasing Nancy back into the house, that part where she's going up the stairs and like her feet are going into the stairs, that was freaking me out, I have to say. That's like that same stress of, have you ever had the nightmare where you're trying to dial your phone? There's a dream like that you have where like you're trying to call the police, like dial 911 and you can't, or you call somebody like in it's an emergency and you can't dial the phone. That was like a reoccurring dream for me.
I don't have dreams like that, Jane, because I'm a perfectly well-adjusted.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
Okay, so here's what happens. Freddy is choking Rada. He's hanging him in his cell.
Well, wait, do they go to the jail in real life?
Yeah.
IRL.
Yeah.
Okay, so they go to the jail in real life.
They go to the jail. The cops don't believe her.
Oh, this is the Garcia dude that wouldn't let her see the guy. Yes. Okay.
So we see the sheets getting all balled up into like a noose and slipping around his neck. And they get there like, okay, so you're under the impression they get there just seconds late.
Yeah.
Yet he is completely dead and white and cold.
Well, no. Well, okay, the white and cold wouldn't make sense. But first of all, Rod, that is not how you protect yourself against a chokehold. He's like grabbing the arm.
There you go, Jenny. There you go.
But it snaps his neck. So you hear his neck snap. Like, because that's usually how you die from hanging. Right. It's not
expected. But he's immediately white.
That's incorrect.
Yes.
That would.
Like, I thought that would take a while.
I mean, it would take a little while, I would think, for the blood to drain out.
Yeah, wouldn't take a minute.
No.
Okay.
But his neck broke. You heard it.
You heard the neck break. So he's there. He's dead. And the next scene we have, we're at Rod Lane's funeral.
And I feel like they're just like murder, suicide, case closed. This is all over. We're good.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
True. So Nancy's mother's there, and I wrote this poor woman. Her kids just keep screaming.
Nancy needs friggin' therapy, man. Like inpatient therapy.
Well, so Nancy's mother takes her to a sleep institute, and the doctor is studying her and allows her not only in the room to be watching this, allows the mother in the room to watch Nancy, but allows her to sit there smoking.
Well, and the sleep therapy stuff, like, they usually cover your entire head with that shit. And they have, like two little nodes mm-hmm. stuck on her forehead and one, like, on her lip. And like, that's how they're measuring everything. And that's
what he's saying is not science, correct?
Not science.
It's just like, she's at a 4. And normally they're at a 6. Okay, she's entering REM. Like, it was so
well, the REM, I mean, REM, yeah, when her eyes start moving, like, that made sense. But, like, it's... There wasn't a lot of research on that part, I don't think.
It was super weird. And so bottom line, she has a nightmare. They wake her up and she has pulled Freddy's hat.
From the dream.
And it's in the bed. And the mother is like, what the fuck is happening? Everybody's kind of like, what the fuck is happening?
Because didn't she mention some description of Freddy? She said something when they were getting in the car at the funeral. That tipped off that the mother and father kind of looked at each other like.
Yes. What? Oh, what did she say?
She said something. I think she gave a description of Freddy.
Yes. I think she said something about the red and green sweater.
And the knives, I think.
Maybe.
And the fought like the parents were they like.
Did a, yeah, like an exchange. Like, what the fuck? Okay. Yeah. So at home, Nancy and her mother have a big fight. Nancy presses her mother for info on Fred Krueger because his name was written in the hat.
Because of course he has like
a personalized hat. Because he's a grown man and he writes his name in his hat.
Well, it was probably, they used to personalize hats. Like, they would put your name in it.
I don't know. It was weird.
I think all of Nancy's outfits are from Fashion Bug.
Fashion Bug. Remember that? Finally, the mother reveals Fred Krueger can't hurt you, Nancy, because he's dead. And Nancy flips out. Wait a minute. Like, you knew who this dude was? And then she grabs her bottle and smashes it.
And then she gets slapped in the face. What did she say to slap her in the face? Mm. Was it when she smashed her bottle?
I think so. Maybe.
She was pissed.
I'm going to be honest. I was zoning out during that.
You did not cover this very well.
Look, all the news that's fit to print, that's what I'm giving you here. You want to know the impetus for Nancy's mother slapping her across
the face? That was a pretty big deal. Like, she got slapped in the face. Like, that, you know, that's not something we see in movies now like that, really.
No, you don't.
Like, it was like it was nothing. It was like an everyday occurrence. Like, yeah. She was just like, okay.
Nancy gets home to find her parents have put bars on the windows. And this freaks me out. This kid cannot get out of this house.
And what the hell? There was that scene, though, with Glenn and Nancy where they were talking about the Balinese way of dreaming. What the fuck was that?
I was hoping your index card was on that.
That was my second thing.
Okay. So this is what I want to share with our audience. I found that scene so stupid and boring, I skipped it. Yet it turns out it was the key to the whole movie.
What? Oh, yeah, you're right. It was. Yeah.
So Jenny, tell them what they said at that.
Well, they just said that they have this way of dreaming where they have what they call dream skills and they write down things that they learn in their dreams. Like it's almost like it's a form of like inspiration for their artwork and their culture. And then I don't even know what he's talking about. I didn't look it up.
He said that they've learned.
And they said if they can't.
To take the power away from the person.
They turn around. If they can't, if they're afraid or they can't learn from, get a dream skill from it or something. It sounds like a fucking video game. If they can't get a dream skill from the thing, then they turn around and drain, like, and don't give them the power and they disappear. Right. It was, I don't know what the fuck this was. I kind of was like, do I do an index card on that? And I'm like, no, fuck no, no.
Was Johnny Depp on shrooms?
No. Nope. I don't even want to know about it. Okay. I don't even want to know anything else about it.
All right. So Nancy gets home. Her parents have put the bars on the windows. I'm going insane because I'm claustrophobic and this bothered me a lot.
I'm going insane because I'm like, this is completely unrealistic. There's no way they ordered and installed all those fucking things.
While she was on the bridge with Johnny Depp for 15 minutes. Yep. Nancy's mother is smoking and drinking and looks crazy. So she invites Nancy into the cellar for a chat.
Yeah, okay. Why not?
Now here's where shit gets real weird.
Now it's getting weird?
She tells her Freddy Krueger was a filthy child murderer who killed not one,
not four,
20 children in the neighborhood. Jen.
How first of all,
incredible.
First of all, in the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
We grew up in a neighborhood with a lot of kids and there was like maybe 12. Like, how
we were all killed.
You would have to wipe out the whole neighborhood of kids. And like, if that's true, why aren't, like, how did all these guys survive? Like,
right, and how, like, why do these guys know nothing about this? That would be fucking town lore.
Yeah, like, somebody would kill one kid and the whole friggin' school would know. And no one would go to that town. Everyone would freak out. And
so yeah. Freddy Krueger, like, Wes Craven, can I talk to you for a minute?
He killed 20 kids and somehow gets off on a technicality.
Shh, I'm talking to Wes Craven. Wes Craven, come closer. Dude, you overreached. You showed your hand.
Like, we get it. He's a bad dude. We get it.
Have him kill two kids. That's enough.
Yeah.
Two kids were killed in our little town of Scranton here many, 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 many decades ago. We still talk about it. It's still a thing.
Yeah.
Two kids is enough.
Yeah, that freaks everyone out. You don't, like, killing 20 is like a whole other, that's a whole different place. That's a whole other level.
God, I don't know what you're doing, Wes Craven, but
So somehow I get off on technicality.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay.
That happens.
So they were kids that they all knew, Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she tells Nancy that when they caught Freddie, all the lawyers got fat and the judge got famous. but someone forgot to sign the search warrant in the right place and he was freed. No.
This would not have happened.
No.
Like, you know, you might, a dude running a Ponzi scheme might get off like that, but not somebody who murdered 20 kids.
Let me transform you to Amy's rewrite corner. Poo, poo, poo. Okay. So in my version of this story, Freddy Krueger tries to kill a kid and maybe molests a couple more. And so there's really no evidence to convict him. So then the parents conduct vigilante justice.
Okay. I'm still hating your movie just as much.
Johnny Depp's in it. Okay. So she pulls something out of the furnace, and while she's pulling that out and opening it, it's the glove, by the way.
Yeah.
She's saying that a bunch of parents tracked him down after they let him out. And they, first of all, why would Fred Krueger go back to the same neighborhood? I just got off on technicality. I'm going to go back to my old house.
Yeah, he would go to Mexico. Yeah. He would go to Canada. He would leave the freaking country.
So he would Roman Polanski this shit. 100%. Yeah. So they find him in an old abandoned boiler room and they burn him alive. And they even took his knives. And she reveals the glove. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, the story's getting flakier and flakier.
And the mother's a terrible actress.
She's terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
Later, Nancy calls Johnny Depp because he lives across the street and they can see each other's bedrooms.
Right.
Okay. She tells him that she has a plan. She's going to bring Freddy out of her dream. So Johnny Depp better be there with a baseball bat to attack him. Okay, Nancy. Like, invite me over to kill this dude that you're pulling from your dream that has murdered 20 children. And I'm like little 18-year-old Johnny Depp.
Right.
No, okay. Sounds good. All right.
Punch the serial killer for me.
Yeah. He's supposed to meet Nancy on her porch at midnight. So we see Nancy's mother tucking her in. And Nancy is on day 7 of no sleep. And I wrote, there's no way. She would.
So I have an index card. So what state would you be in if you were awake for 7 days? So the stages of sleep deprivation. Stage 1, after 24 hours, you're irritable, you're angry, you have decreased alertness, fatigue, puffy eyes. All right, you're
okay. That's not me every day since we brought this.
Yeah, like you're not having a good time, but like it's, you know, nothing. Stage 2, after 36 hours, you start to have what's called micro sleeps, where you doze off for like 30 seconds and don't realize it. Stage 3, after 48 hours. Extreme hallucinations may start. Anxiety, high stress levels. You might start to feel shaky. After stage 4, which is 3 days, 72 hours, 3 days. So this is 3 days. She's on 7.
Okay.
You have disordered thinking, depersonalization. So do you know what depersonalization is?
No.
Sometimes a fierce hangover can make you feel this way. Sometimes a fierce hangover can make you feel this way. It's that sense that like you don't recognize reality. Like that suddenly like reality feels different. Like you might be walking down your street, but it feels odd and different to you. Like you can't orient yourself in reality.
Okay. I feel like in 2020, that's like a whole movement.
And you're probably very shaky and anxious. Stage 5, after 4 days. So this is after 4 days. You have deprivation psychosis, which is the inability to interpret reality at all. Your body will start to go to sleep like spontaneously. So you'll just, you know what I mean? You almost can't stay awake anymore.
Yeah.
And you physically can't do a lot of things. You're dizzy. You are irritable. Like it's, you're just, and you're hallucinating.
You're delusional.
A lot by this point. You're like pretty much delusional.
Okay.
That's after only 4 days. She's 7 days in. So but what she did say is that the record's 11 days. That's actually correct. And it's still the record today. That's still, somebody stayed awake for 11 days.
I feel like that is the only research Wes Craven did for this entire movie.
Yep. So somebody stayed awake for 11 days. The interesting thing, but they weren't like trying to do things, you know, like they're trying to break a record. She goes and like wires the whole house and stuff and does all this MacGyver shit. Yeah. And she's like having like lucid conversations and like she's totally fine.
Yep.
The interesting thing about severe sleep deprivation? Like, it sounds like you'd be fucked up forever over this. As soon as you sleep, you're totally fine. Mm. Isn't that weird?
That's weird. Did this research make you feel better?
About what?
Because I know the movie? You struggle with insomnia and stuff.
I mean, I don't stay awake for 36 hours straight. I get 5 hours of sleep a night. This is when you stay awake consecutive hours.
Yeah, but like
having little sleep is different problems.
There's sleep anxiety where you worry that you're never going to be able to sleep again. But now we know your body will automatically make you sleep on day five.
I mean, I think the sleep anxiety I have is more like, oh, I need to get up somewhat early and I have like a physical thing tomorrow and I'm going to be tired for it. It's not, I'm never going to sleep again. What kind of freaking logic is that?
I sometimes go to the place of, oh my God, I'm never going to sleep regularly again. This is going to be my new life. I'm going to be crazy.
That's because you keep getting fucking puppies and shit.
Children.
So that may be true for you.
Okay. So thank you, Jenny. We're back at Nancy's house.
And she's staring at a picture because that's going to keep her awake.
Yeah.
She's doing nothing to stay awake. Everything to fall asleep.
Yep. Nancy keeps checking out the window as it nears midnight and she tries to call Johnny Depp, but Jen, he's drifting off.
Of course.
He's got his headphones on playing music and he's got his TV blasting.
Yeah.
But he's still dozing off.
Because he's super unreliable. You just cannot count on this guy.
No way, dude. His parents don't like Nancy. They think she's crazy. So when she calls, they tell her, like, don't call back. He's sleeping. And they take the phone off the hook. Remember when you could take a phone off the hook?
And just be like, fuck everyone.
Fuck the world. She can see his room and she knows shit's about to go down. She tries to run out of the house, but her mother has locked the door from the inside.
Of course, like, that was in the days when a phone would ring and you had no way to stop it. Like, you'd just be in your house hanging out and phones would ring. Like, I don't have that anymore, do you? Like, I have my phone over there. It doesn't have any alerts on it. It gets alerts, but nothing vocal. Vocal? No. Noise.
Audible.
Audible. Thank you, vocal. My phone's being vocal over there. Nothing audible. So it's like, it's always silent.
You never answer.
Yeah. Yep.
My phone's
like, I just look at it
too.
When I want to know what's going on.
Yep.
Like,
my phone's always on silent.
So that, the stress of just a ring happening, like when something rings, it freaks the fuck out of me.
Well, not even like, that. Think about, you know, if you're Gen Z listening to this, which I don't know why you would.
I'm sure there's tons of them.
You would. We used to have to talk to people's parents.
Yeah. Like, you'd call and their parent would answer the phone.
Can I talk to Jenny?
Yeah. That sucked.
It sucked. It was weird. So we see Johnny Depp in his little cutoff shirt and he's drifting asleep. And Freddie pulls him into his bed and coats his room with a river of blood.
Well, it's kind of fluorescent blood.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
His mother runs in and starts screaming.
How else would you react to that?
The cop.
It's like enough blood. It's like after like a week of a blood drive. It's not like blood from one person.
Did you see The Shining where the blood comes rushing down the hallway?
Yeah,
the
of
elevator?
Course. That is a great horror movie.
Yes.
That is a great horror
it's
movie.
It's that amount of blood.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I don't know where his body is, but whatever.
Are you going to fact check that? Is that what you're wondering the science around that?
No. So the cops show up and they're baffled and her father's trying to investigate, but Nancy calls him over there. And she tells him what her plan is. And she's got like this weird voice on her. She's like, I got to do what I got to do, Dad.
She's nuts. She's lost her mind completely.
He asks him to break down the door at exactly 12:30. He's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Nancy has been reading a book, Jen, on booby trapping. And she sets some traps up for a dude who can freely move between levels of consciousness.
Yeah, like we saw him walk through metal bars at the jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, but she home alones her house just in case.
Is it? I was saying MacGyver, and that reminds me we should do some MacGyver episodes because I would love to see the science in that now.
Yeah. I used to, full disclosure, I used to love him. Richard.
I mean, I loved that show.
But I thought he was hot. Like, I thought
him. He's just your type. Like, you liked Steve Perry.
Oh, I did like Steve Perry.
He's like, looks the same. He has that look.
Yeah, he does. I like a.
Like that Kenny Loggins.
Phony nose. Okay. Nancy gets all ready and drifts off. She's looking all over for Freddy. She's in a boiler room. And suddenly she finds him and she's able to lure him back into the neighborhood. She grabs him just before her alarm goes off. And guys, I'm paraphrasing this. I'm sparing you a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yep.
She grabs him just before her alarm goes off. And guess what, Jen? She did it. He's in his bedroom. He's in her bedroom with her.
Nancy is a dream warrior.
She is a dream warrior. That was the song.
That was the fourth, the third or fourth one.
And there was a song, wasn't there?
There was a whole song. And it was by that really hot band that I used to like, that I can't remember their name of. The Dream Warriors. That was the song.
Oh, pause. Okay, we're back. It's by Dawkin, who apparently Jenny loves.
No, I don't love Dawkin. I thought it was by Slaughter.
I'd like to send a special message out to our friend KP. You know who you are.
Slaughter.
Jenny loves Dawkin. Jenny loves Dawkin.
No, I don't. And she knows that's not true. She knows that's not true. And I loved Mark Slaughter, who was in Vinnie Vincent Invasion and then later started his band called Slaughter. And that's who I thought sang that song. But I was wrong.
Loved Mark Slaughter.
I did.
Oh, God. Oh, memes. I'm putting the picture up in the group. Oh.
There's a lot of questionable things going on there.
Yeah. Okay. I was madly in love with Axl Rose, so I can't talk. I have no room to talk. Okay. Bear with me, guys, because this gets weird. First of all, I want to say when Nancy comes out of the dream and she has Freddy with her, she also has a ton of the pieces of the rose bush trellis.
A rose trellis.
Hilarious. Okay.
So
she and Freddy get in a fight. She hits him with one of the coffee pots. Thank God she had a spare.
Yes, thank God.
In the head. Then she locks him in her bedroom and starts screaming for her father. Her father's nowhere to be found. Freddy comes out of the room and gets hit with the Home Alone trick, which was a sledgehammer.
Which didn't go through him. Like, why? why do something?
Well, because he can walk through something. He's not in a dream.
Oh, he's in reality now. Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Right.
So he's able to be hurt.
So why can't she walk through walls in dreams?
I don't know.
Like, there's a lot of problems with the dream physics. Because, like, if she can walk through, I mean, if he could walk through walls in dreams, why can't she?
I don't know.
Never can. They're always trapped. They're always trapped in a dead end with a blazing inferno at the end of it.
Always. It's always that furnace. Yeah. He chases Nancy to the basement where she lights him on fire. And I wrote, now she's trapped inside a burning house with Freddy Krueger.
Well, there was an explosion and the dumbass across the street that's supposed to be watching her house like, oh, maybe I should go get her father now. There is an explosion at the house, dude.
The father finally comes to the rescue, but they can't find Freddy. And finally they realize he's attacking the mother?
Well, the mother was one of the ones involved in killing him, I guess.
That's true. They get to her, but it's too late. Jenny, I cannot explain what happened next.
Wait.
Here's what I have written. Hold on. Here's what I've written.
Oh, the part with the mother in the bed?
The mother, we don't know what happens to Freddy Krueger. He just disappears. The mother shrivels up like the Madeline puppet, and her bed opens up into a smoky hellscape and sucks her in.
But it kind of has lights like the stage of solid gold, so maybe that all makes sense.
Maybe. What happened? Where's Freddy?
I just have, this has gone off the rails. You know, I something metaphysical just happened. The dad is like, okay, whatever. And then I realized, oh, we're in a dream. It's a dream.
It's not.
They're in a dream. Yes, they are. That's the whole thing. Because I was like, how is the dad just like, I don't care, but she's dreaming this. She's still dreaming it.
She's still dreaming.
Yes, because then she gets up and it's the next day.
And
then it seems like nothing happened. So you don't really know where the dreaming started and stopped.
No, because Freddy comes back.
I think she's trapped in the dream.
Hold on. Let me just... We are struggling with the physics of Nightmare on Elm Street.
So, no, we're not. We're struggling with the plot of Nightmare on Elm Street.
True. So wait a minute. So then the bed goes back to normal and no one's on it.
It's like nothing happened.
So the father's going downstairs and Nancy's like, go ahead, I'll be down in a minute. First of all, no one's acting freaked out here.
Well, that's why I was like, no, like what did... He's just like, whatever, okay, catch you downstairs. Like, but I think she's still dreaming, which is why everyone's acting so oddly.
Maybe you're right, because then Freddy comes out again.
Yeah.
And she takes his power from him, Jen.
Yes, because they're still in the dream.
Yep. She says, I don't believe in you. You're not real. This is all they had to say.
I know.
She's like, I want my friends back.
Five people died.
Yeah. So the next day, that's it.
She walks out. Well, I just have, what fresh hell is this? Because like they just walk outside, like, and the mom's like, I don't drink anymore.
Yep.
And it's sun, and there's a sunshine scene where they're out in the bright sunshine. They're talking about how bright it is.
Yep.
The fuck.
And there's Tina and Rod and Johnny Depp, and they pull up for her in the car, and she gets in, and guess what, Jen? The car starts to take over, like Christine style. Like the
window. Which is another really good horror movie.
All Stephen King stuff.
Yeah. All movies we could have watched.
The hood of the car, or the roof of the car, is striped red and green like Freddy's sweater. Then Freddy's hand reaches through the front porch window and takes the mother, and clearly a doll or a mannequin gets pulled through the thing. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it. That's the end.
Yeah, about 45 minutes in, I was like, oh my god, there's still half of this movie left.
It was bad. And this is an instance, and I knew we were going to run into this when we decided to do this whole podcast. This is an instance where something was so much better then.
No, I don't even feel like it was that good then, though. Like, it was better than, but I feel like it wasn't great
when
then.
I say better, it was important to us in some way. Like, it was,
but that was the judgment of like 12-year-old, 13-year-old us. I don't trust that judgment. True.
So at the end of every episode, terrible. Jenny and I go back and we talk about either a lesson that we have learned from the movie, or think about a way that it influenced us as children, and then we brought that lesson with us into adulthood, or maybe something we discovered on the rewatch. So Jenny, what is your why?
So this is why I voted for Halloween in the Mimi B poll.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because I knew this movie was fucking terrible.
I heard you had a long discussion with Mom about this.
I did. Who said that?
Mom?
I think I had two sentences with her.
Oh, Mom has a whole theory about why Halloween is scarier.
No. We had about the movie, not the poll.
Oh, right.
We did have a brief conversation about the poll. I mean, about the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's just a dude going nuts, so it could be real.
Okay.
We're Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, I mean, we can't even get through the physics of what's going on here. it was just a cheesier movie. Like, it's just not as well written. Like, you know, it's just not as good.
So I wrote, this is why the internet is a good thing. Despite my usual feelings about social media and the internet being terrible, there's no way these kids wouldn't have Googled the shit out of Freddy Krueger the minute they had his name and would have had all the facts and knew how to defeat him.
Yep.
They wouldn't have had to listen to Johnny Depp's science. I'm sorry. This was awful. I owe you an apology for making you watch it.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
And then they, what, did 7 sequels?
I don't remember all of them. I don't think I've seen all of them, but I feel like the ones like 3 and 4 were a little better. I think they got, cause they got more budget. Don't forget too. I think they got a little better, but never good. I would never put them in the category of good.
Okay. I watched a remake in 2010. There was a remake.
Oh God.
A budget of $35 million, box office brought in $115 million. And it was scary, and it was good.
I'm not watching it, but I'll take your.
It was 25 times better than this piece of garbage we just watched.
Yeah, for me, I hope no one bought this.
Oh, we did.
I know. I paid $2.99 for this, so I suffered, and I paid $2.99 to suffer, and now I'm suffering more.
And you missed out on your Cobra Kai,
and I didn't even get to watch Cobra Kai.
And let me just tell you guys, I was terrified to watch this.
So was I. And then after 8 seconds, I was like, no, I remember why. This is dumb.
But now I'm scared to watch Halloween.
Halloween's scary. I think Halloween's scary.
All right. Bringing us to, what are we doing next? Is that what we're doing next?
I'm going to make you watch that now. Because that's a quality horror movie from our time that scared the living shit out of us.
Guys, thanks for listening, even though we shit all over this. It was hard not to.
I mean, that's why I feel like, okay, Howard the Duck was bad. We all remember that it was bad. But like it was, I don't know, it wasn't as depressing as this was.
This was pretty depressing.
Maybe because they had more money, so it was more ridiculous. Like, well,
and there was less murder in Howard the Duck. I mean, a bunch of teenagers are getting murdered here.
That's true. Good point. There was no murder.
And 20 neighborhood children.
Well, and Howard the Duck was so badly acted, though, also. Like,
it was absurd. Howard the Duck was absurdist.
Right. Like, this is trying to be serious. Yes. I think like that, the duck was absurd. Yes, that's correct.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. You can find Jenny and me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even though I don't really put anything on Twitter because I hate it. But our handle's all the same. Gen X, this is Y. Letter X, spell out the Y. We also have a Facebook group called the Mimi Bees. And if you haven't listened to our regular series, we're doing Little House on the Prairie right now. And that's a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. See you soon. Hi, everyone. Amy here. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. To best support us, please consider subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review on Apple iTunes or anywhere you listen. You can connect with Jenny and me through our Facebook group, the Mimi Bees. You can find information on the Mimi Bees and all other projects by liking us on Facebook or Instagram at Gen X This Is Y. Letter X, spell out the Y. Thanks again. See you soon.